reason, hallelujah. In the presence of my enemies, I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is the melody. I raise a hallelujah. Fight for me.
I'm gonna sing.
And I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. Raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. Raise a hallelujah. Feel you lost your hold on me. And I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, gonna hear my praise.
Revelation, it says, "And behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments and with golden crowns on their heads. The 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. All the saints and angels, they bow before your crowns before the Lamb of God and sing.
You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve glory. All the saints and angels bow before your throne. All the elders cast the crown for the Lamb of God and sing. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sang a new song.
Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise.
Come into your presence this morning.
focusing our attention on you and the work you have accomplished on our behalf and the ongoing work of grace and forgiveness and acceptance right where we are at. Thank you. We worship you. We love you. We ask that you would be glorified in this worship in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today is a unique day. Once a month, we set aside to celebrate the Lord's table. And that is another way we call talk about communion, the elements of the blood and the body of Christ represented in a cup of juice and also a little wafer of bread, the bread representing the body of Christ, the juice representing the blood of Jesus. And this morning, as we prepare ourselves to participate in the elements, we just want to take some time to reflect, to examine our hearts, and to come to grips with our ongoing need for a Savior. If you've placed your faith in Jesus, you are forgiven of all of your sins, and you are accepted before Him. You are eligible to come to this table and receive the elements. But as we reflect, I want us to take a moment to also acknowledge the ongoing need that every single one of us has for the humanity, the flaws, the shadow parts of our heart that maybe other people don't see as much. Maybe they see more than we want. But reality is we know it's there. God knows it there. And we allow God's love to penetrate, His forgiveness to penetrate, His acceptance to penetrate. So I ask Martha to read a scripture from 1 Corinthians as we prepare our hearts.
Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup.
So how do we receive the cup in a worthy manner? It's not that we become worthy, but we do so acknowledging our need and the love of God's that is extended on our behalf. That is, we don't take that for granted. That is coming before Him with a worthy heart. So this morning, I'm going to invite you. We're going to sing a song together. And I want you to take a moment. Don't come up to these tables and grab your elements, you know, right away. Take some time to reflect on and invite the presence of Jesus to penetrate those parts of our heart that feel very vulnerable today. And then when at the right time, when you felt like you've done that in a way that reflects how you want to come to the Lord, then I invite you to stand, come on up, grab the elements. There's two cups are in a stack at these tables. One has the bread and one has the juice. And you'll separate those once you take it back to your seat, and we'll take those together. So take a moment and reflect, and then come when you're ready.
More, for grace is found, is where.
From the Lord, what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The body of Christ broken for you, take and eat.
In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The blood of Christ spilled out for us. Take now and drink." Lord God, we thank you. We acknowledge your grace, your forgiveness, your acceptance, your love. We partake in worship from your blood and your body, acknowledging how much we need you, how much you love us, expressed in the most definitive ways. Thank you. We worship you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Right now, we're going to go ahead and dismiss our kids to Children's Church, and I'm going to invite you to stand up wherever you're at and greet someone near you. Introduce yourself if you see a new face this morning.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Grace. My name is Sheila, and we've been gone for 3 weeks, so it's so good to be back with you all and to see your faces, and we missed you, so it's good to be here. So just a few announcements. If you're new here or if you've been here for a month or however long and haven't filled out a Connect card, we would love to get to know you. So in the back of the chairs dispersed by the Bibles there is a Connect card. We'd love for you to fill that out and reach the Welcome Center in the back. There's a little gift awaiting you. So, and tonight, very exciting, there's a youth swim party at Nancy Johnson's house, and looking forward to that. So If you do not know where that's at, come talk to Matthew or I today, or there is a address in the bulletin. So we're looking forward to that. And also, August 2nd, youth, we have our Santa Cruz Boardwalk Day coming up. If you haven't signed up for that, contact Sierra, because we're trying to figure out, make sure we have enough drivers going that day. And it's a really wonderful, fun day, long day, but looking forward to that. So those are a couple youth events coming up. And then this Thursday night from 5:30 to 6:30 here at the church, there's a hymn sing. So if you guys want to come sing some good old hymns, Pastor Jonathan will be leading that, and be a time just to kind of go back to some wonderful hymns that we may not sing as frequently now. So, and the final announcement, offering, there's three ways to give. There's a box in the back. There, you can mail it in, or is the Vanco app. So whatever way you give, we're so grateful for how you continue to bless our church here and just provide as you do. So have a blessed and wonderful Sunday.
I hear the Savior say, my strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Take a moment again, just let's open with prayer, okay? So, Lord, once again, we gather together as your holy people, set apart, sinful yet redeemed, broken yet being healed and blessed. And so we honor you today, and as best as we can, we seek to bring our hearts once again to this place, to one another. And we just humbly ask for your grace to cover us, to fill us, be in us and between us, your empowering presence. And we welcome you as best as we can to speak this morning to our hearts. And so we offer this time to you, Father, through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, my name is Matthew. If you haven't met me, I periodically preach and here at Grace. And because I periodically do it, literally every time I do it, my heart just pounds before I come up here. So just to acknowledge my vulnerability, I'm like, good night. I'm glad my heart is working. We'll talk about the heart a little bit later. It's working, it's pumping, and I'm grateful for that reality that my heart still works even when it beats faster. Okay, so this morning we're going to take a little turn away from Acts. Mark and I, let's see here if this is working here. Should be. No? Oh, I've got to push the other arrow. There we go. So we've been in this series on Acts. And if anybody, by the way, I learned from last time, if anybody can't hear what I'm saying, just give me the, like, speak up, okay? So you have the right. I'm giving you permission to let me know. Just go like this, and I'll that'll trigger me to talk a little louder. Sometimes I drop my my voice, and so help me out by doing that. And if you want to throw in an amen, too, you can do that, too. Okay, so amen. Talk louder. All right, so we've been in this series on Acts, as I was talking with Pastor Mark about this series what I should bring, the message I should bring. Should I stick with Acts? We agreed that probably best for him to stick with Acts, and so that led me to take a different direction. And as I was preparing for this message, what came to mind was this. I was thinking about the heart, and you'll understand more of why I was so focused on the heart with a story I'll tell a little later. But I've been thinking a lot about the heart. And I want to ask this question, you know, what comes to mind when you hear the word heart? Like, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the word heart? A lot can come to mind. Current cultural Western understandings of the heart. You know, sometimes when I think of the heart, I just kind of think of Valentine's, you know, day and be mine, I give you my heart. And it's a kind of an affectionate kind of focus on the heart, like I'm just, be mine, I love you from the heart. And, you know, it's not necessarily kind of a deep understanding of the heart, okay? So you might think that a little bit. I also think this, like our actual physical heart, that when I hear the term heart, I think of our physical heart. And our physical hearts are amazing. I actually, on the plane back, we were visiting some friends in Alaska. On the plane back, I sat by a man who was basically a cardiologist. And it was so cool because I've been thinking about the heart. And I sat by this guy who had studied, and he was just in the process of moving into actually his work as a cardiologist. And we were talking about the heart. And now the heart, if you all just pumped your arm like this, the whole time we were during this message, what might you discover is that, or you can switch to the left arm or whatever, is that your bicep's going to get a little tired. If I do this for 2 minutes, by the end of those 2 minutes, I'm going to be like, this little clicker is going to be like, okay, you know, I'm going to be tired if I kept doing that. Well, the heart is so amazing. So shortly after conception, I didn't look up the exact time, when the heart starts beating in each of us as human persons. Since that point, whenever that first beat is, the cells coming together to create the heart, and whenever that heart starts beating early in the womb, it never stops. It just keeps on going, never stopping. It's an amazing organ, muscle in our body, the heart. The heart just keeps going. And what happens when the heart stops? We stop. Physically, at least, our bodies stop. It's so important. It just keeps going. And again, I'll tell a little story about this that makes this very important in my journey, thinking about the heart. So you think of the physical heart. Well, today, I want to talk about the heart as the center or the core of who we are as human persons. The heart as the core, the center. And this really is connected to a biblical understanding of the word heart from the Old Testament. A biblical view of the heart is this, that the heart is the place or the reality within us where feeling, thinking, willing, and really living flow from the heart. It all happens here in the heart. It's like the core of who we are. So there's not this like split between feeling and thinking, heart, feeling, thinking, mind. No, no, no. The heart, according to the scriptures, is the center of who we are. And thinking, feeling, willing, experiencing all coalesce in the heart. It's the core. It's the core of who we are. And because the heart is the core of who we are, where all this happens, life happens in the heart, in our hearts. It makes our hearts the most important part of who we are. And it's why we see all through the scriptures, all through the Old and New Testament, God is talking to us about our hearts and that he wants our hearts. He wants the core of who we are. He wants all of who we are, thinking, feeling, willing, knowing, experiencing. He wants it all. He made us to give him our whole hearts, to trust him with our whole heart, to love him with all of our heart, the center, the core of who we are. And so with that in mind, I want to, this message is, the title is The Way of the Heart, Part 1. Mark didn't know this, but I want to keep talking about this. So this is just Part 1, Mark. So just so you know, we're going to have to come back around to this. But I want to say more to the heart, about the heart with you all, because the side of the heart's the most important part of who you are, the center, the core, where you're thinking, you're feeling, you're desiring, you're knowing, you're experiencing, all coalesce, they come together in the heart. That's the idea of the heart from a biblical perspective. And because the heart is so important, this is the guiding truth of this message, Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. We need to guard our heart, to protect it, to keep it, to watch over it. So let's talk about this a little bit. So why do we need to guard our heart? Because what you see, what you say, what you do, what you hear matters. Whatever you let in, see, say, do, hear, what you push out, it matters. What you do with your heart matters. What you take in with your heart matters. Everything you do flows out of the heart. It's the center, the core of who you are. It's why what you think is so important. It's why you're paying attention to your deep desires. Why is you paying attention to inordinate desires or sinful desires or wacky thoughts or untrue thoughts or desires that are not good. It's why you got to pay attention to the heart. You got to keep watch over it. Everything you do flows from your heart. So if something's flowing from your heart that you have a sense isn't good, you gotta ask the deeper question. Okay, what's going on in my heart? You're anxious all the time. You need to ask the deeper question. What's going on in my heart? If I'm anxious all the time, or you know, I'm fearful, I'm anxious, I'm worried, and because of that, I react or I make decisions that aren't the best decisions, you need to follow that back down into your heart. What's going on in the heart? Because everything you do thinking, feeling, willing, or choosing, experiencing flows from the heart. It's the most important part of who you are. The most important part. In my studies of this, that word guard is really important. So above all else, guard your heart, for from it, everything in life flows from it. Everything in your life flows out of your heart. To guard doesn't mean bar, seal, or coat in a shield of lead, or like you're covering it all up or putting it in this kind of steel tomb, if you will, or box. No, it's not that. It literally means to keep or to guard, which literally means to set a watchman over it, to watch over it, and to set a watchful eye over your heart, because it matters so much. It matters so much. You need to watch over your heart. How do we do that? Well, first of all, we need to own it. The heart's the core of who we are. It's the most important part of who we are. It's what God wants. First and foremost is our hearts, because our bodies are going to, what we do with our bodies is going to flow out of that. He wants our hearts. So it starts with ourselves. We first are kind of the watchmen keeping guard or watch over our hearts. We need to own that or take responsibility for that if we're going to guard our heart like we need to above all else. We need to own it. But secondly, we're not left alone there. We have the Holy Spirit. And this is one of the blessings of our faith. The Spirit doesn't just stay out there, right, outside of us. The Spirit, what does the Spirit do? Indwell our hearts. The Spirit comes. Jesus promised the Spirit. It's better because when I'm here, I'm outside of you. But it's still really good. It's Jesus. But when the Spirit comes, I will be in you. I'll make my home in you. Wow. So we have the Spirit. So we have our own selves, our own will. We need to be watchful. We have agency. We have to watch over our hearts. We have the Spirit. And then, of course, why we come together once a week, every week, and many of us more than this, in our own devotions, together in Bible studies, we keep putting the Word in our hearts. Why? Because the Word is connected to the living God. And the Spirit activates the Word as we take it in and keep taking it in and keep taking it in. We keep showing up here for the fellowship of believers, but also to keep coming back to the Word. Why? Because we need it in our hearts to watch over our hearts, to guard our hearts, to keep our hearts, to protect our hearts. We need the Word. So how do we do it? Watch over ourselves, the Spirit, and the Word. Now, with that said, let me share a personal story. This last 4 weeks ago, this coming up Wednesday, I found myself in the Sutter Amador ER. And a good portion of you know about this. Was it on the prayer? Did we put it on the prayer chain? I think we did. But I've never had any issues with my heart, okay? It's worked since early on in the womb, whenever it started working after conception and life began for me, my heart was pumping. I've never had any issues with my heart, like, going haywire. But I let something into my heart, and I've realized this now. It was a video that was connected to my sister and brother-in-law's passing, which, honestly, I think it was a poor choice for me to let that into my heart. Immediately after I watched it, I had a very high heart rate, like off the charts, and I was out of kilter and felt really deeply impacted by that. And since I watched it, it was Saturday, like 3 days later or 2 days later, I started having PACs and SVTs. You guys know what those are? So premature atrial contractions, and then SVTs, which is supraventricular tachycardia, which is a rapid heart rate. When I would like bend over to pick up a leaf, I'd stand up, boom, 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 about 7 to 10 seconds, and then it would slow down. or I'd sit down. I'm like, you'd think sitting down wouldn't make my heart race. So I'd be walking and normal, and then I'd sit down and boom, 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 boom. I'm like, oh my gosh. So it's the point, what happened was on Wednesday, after I had watched something and kind of processed that, I got good support, but I really think that was the catalyst, the catalytic event. I actually was feeling so uncomfortable, I went to the ER. And what they started doing was tracking my heart. What was happening? So I would be okay, nothing, and then I'd be stand up to go to the bathroom. I'd come back. I'd sit down on the bed. Boom, 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 boom. You know, rapid heart rate for like 7 to 10 seconds, and then it went away. I'm like, oh, wow, what's going on here? So I had it all assessed, and it was very helpful. Sutter Amador ER was great. Fortunately, Sheila was there, and she was working that day, so she was able to come by and visit me, and I called her my angel that day. Sheila, my angel, thank you. Isn't that sweet? Okay. So here's what I learned from that. And some would say, and the doctor, when I went to see the cardiologist, he's like, well, I don't know about the spiritual or emotional or psychological things. I'm just looking at the heart. I'm just looking at the physical. What's happening there? And he actually didn't know. It's like, I see your symptoms. They're not happening like they were, but he didn't know. Well, they were still happening periodically, but I really think it was from watching something that I didn't need to watch, and it would probably have been a better choice. I think it would have been a better choice for me not to watch what I watched. I made a bad choice. And I look back and I'm like, ah, I regret that. I wish I hadn't watched that. Like someone could have told me about it. That would have been better than me taking in the image and kind of like the experience of it. But what I learned from that is what we let into our heart or keep out of our heart really matters. And guess who's responsible for this for all of us? You and me are. We are 100% responsible for the most part what we let in or don't let in. Now, sometimes things happen where, okay, circumstances... things can happen where things we let things into our heart, and then we have to work that out. And fortunately, we have ourselves, we have the Spirit and the Word to help us do that. We can guard it. We can guard our hearts. But the reality is, this really matters. It really, really matters. So we need to keep, this is a different version. I like the different versions when I'm studying the Word. Keep your heart with all diligence. Be so diligent, all diligence, not some diligence, all diligence. Keep, guard, watch over your heart. For out of it springs the issues of life. How do we do that? We take responsibility, ourselves, the Spirit, and the Word to watch over our hearts. Now, as I've thought about this more specifically, there's three insights that I want to bring to you today as I invite you to think more deeply about your hearts. It's the center of who you are, where thinking, feeling, willing, coalesce. It all comes together. Life happens and flows out of the heart. Okay? Three specific insights. I'm going to call them heart insight. Isn't that creative? Insight, keeping watch over your heart. I really like that. So heart insights, okay? So as I think about what I would want to share with you today to help you guard over your heart, you need to know how to do that. Number one, taking responsibility, your connection with the Spirit, walking with the Spirit day in and day out, and your connection, taking in the Word, day in and day out is going to help you. But specifically, I want to give three insights that I think have been really profound for me as I've walked through the last 4 weeks and really in my life that I think would be helpful for all of us to kind of take in and own today to help us understand and guard our hearts. The first insight is this: we are broken. We are broken. Listen to the scriptures. Well, let me do this first slide first. I missed this slide. To the core of our very heart, this is why we share communion and remember the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus over and over again. Because we are broken. We all know it. Just a little paying attention to our hearts, we know it. There's selfishness there. There's pride there. There's reaction there. For me, I have an issue with deception. And if I feel caught, I actually, even though I'm 52, I might say something that's not true. Now, that's the flesh in me at work. I'm not proud of that, but it's dying, thank God. So I'm getting better, really much better. This doesn't happen very often, and when it does happen, I try to own it right away, take responsibility. But sometimes still, if I feel caught, my heart, I can be deceptive. It's hard to, it's broken, it's like twisted. Or with my family, things aren't going the way that I want them to go. What happens? I'm reactionary. I can get angry. I don't take responsibility for it. And then I act or I say something in a way that I'm not proud of. I overreact. And then I miss and hurt my family. It's terrible. I'm broken. My feeling, my thinking, my willing are broken. We are broken. And that means we gotta own it. The disorder, the deception, the rebellion against God that caused us to be cast out of the garden, to cover, to hide, to cover, to be ashamed. We're broken. We all know this. We're all in the same place here. But if you want to guard your heart really well, you need to acknowledge that our hearts are deceptive and disordered. And we need to keep acknowledging that. I don't care if you're 8 years old or 80. You need to keep living with the insight, watching your heart, because you're broken. And we need to keep doing that day in and day out. Look at, we hear this from the scriptures. This is what I was speaking to. You know, maybe this came to mind, Jeremiah 17:9, you know, that the heart is deceitful above all things, beyond cure. Who can understand it? And all throughout the Old and New Testaments, we see this over and over again. Even Jesus in his own words speaking about the heart. But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person out of the heart. We're deeply broken. And whether you're 8 or 80, it doesn't matter. You need to stay watchful. You need to have this insight in mind if you want to guard your heart, because we're all broken. Broken. Now, fortunately, I didn't just watch that, what I saw, and just stay there. I was aware, like, oh man, I probably shouldn't have done that. And I actually think some of my heart, some things got off in my heart a little bit because of that. And here's one of the reasons why I think that. I went to Redwood Christian Park, where the women's retreat is often happened. Many of you have probably been there. Redwood Christian Park. We go there every summer. Thank God I didn't stay in my kind of pride about what I had done, seeing something I shouldn't have watched, and thinking like, oh, this is a good idea. And I remember telling Sheila and thinking like, Sheila, next time, I need to ask you if I should do that. Because I almost watched it again, and then I talked to a few people, and I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And there was reasons for that, but I decided not to do that. So why I'm bringing this up, this was me. This was a pretty good job hitting the mark there, but no, nothing actually in the yellow. So I missed the mark here. All of us have missed the mark. That's kind of the nature, the description of sin. We've missed the mark. We are broken, sinful, rebellious. We've missed the mark. But all of us have an opportunity to guard our hearts, to keep watch over our hearts, and make things right. That's called repentance, right? And confession. And that's what I did the first night of RCP, because I was there and I was standing there. The speaker had spoke. He invited people to come forward. And how many of us have had this opportunity, but we don't always do it. But I'm like, I'm going forward, because even that day I was riding with Mark Johnson. I'm thinking, I might need to go to the hospital again on Sunday, because my heart was acting up again while I was sitting there driving to RCP with Mark. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy what was happening. And so we're at the speaker. I was okay. I regulated. So we're at the RCP and I'm like, I need prayer. I need healing. Because this is crazy. And so he invited people to come forward. No one comes forward. And I kind of turned to Sheila and like, Sheila, I'm going forward. You want to come with me? And so Sheila and I were the only people that night who went forward. Now, I'm not telling you this to like talk so highly about myself. I'm like, I was in tears going forward because I'm like, what's going on? Am I on the road to dying sooner than later because of what's happening with my heart? What's going on with me? And so fortunately, I was able to make a choice, which we all have choices daily to make a choice, right? To humble our hearts, to not need to be better or bigger or more together than who we actually are, to actually be who we are. And for me that night, it was broken and humble and pleading with the Lord, like, Lord, help me. As the youth speaker, too, I'm like, how am I going to do this? Jeez, I'm like, I can't even sit down without my heart going off the charts. How am I going to do this, Lord? Well, I had them pray for me that night, and Sheila was there, and some insight came through that experience, inviting the Lord into it. And literally 48 hours later, and I haven't had any symptoms since then, my symptoms were gone. So I had, yeah, thank the Lord. So I really believe it was God moving in a significant way because I asked him to help me. I was desperate because I was broken and in need. And so I share this story with you all not to build myself up. I was the only one who went up. Wasn't that great for me? No, no, no. We periodically invite you all up here. You will be blessed if you come forward. I can almost guarantee it any time. You move with humility and grace. You ask for what you need. You don't think you're better than you are, which bottom line is we're all broken. Anytime you do that, there's going to be a benefit for you. Because the Lord, what does he do? He opposes the proud, but he gives grace to who? The humble. The humble. Anytime you take ownership, responsibility for your sin, your brokenness, the disorder, the deception, God's going to honor that, and he's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of me. Anytime you do that, it's the power, the insight, guarding over our hearts through owning our brokenness or taking responsibility for how we're disordered, sinful, or spiritually just broken. It's a good thing to do, a good thing to do. Watching over our hearts with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. How do we do that? Take responsibility with the help of the Spirit and the encouragement of the Scriptures. So I want to ask you all, when you think of this heart insight number one, being broken, just ask yourself a moment, am I walking in the way of brokenness? Because that is part of the way of the heart when it comes to following Jesus. I'm acknowledging that I'm broken and I need the Lord every day. Why do we share communion once a month? Why do we keep talking about our sin? Because we're broken and we need the Lord. So I just want to ask you, just think, how am I walking in the way of brokenness, acknowledging, embracing that I'm broken in this season of your life, even today? It would be good. The Lord will honor it if you walk in the way of brokenness. This is part of the way of the heart, bringing our hearts, watching over our hearts in Christ Jesus. That's insight number one. Insight number two is this. We are being healed. Thank God we're not left in our brokenness, right? We are, amen. Can I hear that? Amen. Yes. We are not left in our brokenness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, we're not left there. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus. When Jesus in Luke 4 walked the earth, God's Son, God in the flesh, walked the earth, he read from Isaiah 61 right here, and he said these words are fulfilled in their reading. He was there. Listen to these words. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Thank you, Lord. To proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Amen. That they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. When I hear this, when I think of Jesus and other in the Psalms and Old Testament prophecies about him, he came to heal. The thief comes to heal or to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came so that he might give life and life abundantly. And part of that life is him healing us as we keep bringing our brokenness to him. We are broken, but we are also being healed. Now, I'm going to share another personal story, but this is right from John. It's not my story. It's someone else's story. This clip is a little long. It's from The Chosen, but hang in there. We got plenty of time. It's only 11:30, so just get comfortable and enjoy this clip. It's a little long. I think it's like 7 minutes, but I have to play it to the end. This is so amazing. It brings tears to my eyes when I think about how God meets us. In our brokenness, he will meet me, he will meet you in your sin and brokenness every time you bring it to him. Watch this video here.
You know, it's not safe for you to be alone out here.
Nor you. Why haven't you come with others? Why so late in the day? Don't women come to the wells in the cool of the morning?
Yeah, well, none of them will be seen with me, so I have to come out alone. In the heat, as you have so kindly reminded me.
Why won't they be seen with you?
Long story.
I'd still like a drink of water if you can spare it.
Amazing what a parched throat will do. Aren't I unclean to you? Won't you be defiled by this vessel?
Maybe some of my people say that about your women, but I don't.
Yeah? And what do you say?
I say if you knew who I am, you'd be asking me for a drink.
Really?
And I would give you living water.
Would. Except that you have nothing to draw water with, and this is a deep well. Besides, what do you need from me if you have your own supply of living water?
Long story.
But Jewish water is better than Samaritan water,
That's not what I said.
Are you a better man than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well? Your water is better than his?
I know Jacob. And everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again.
Wouldn't that be nice?
The water I give will become in a person a spring of water welling up to eternal life.
Really?
Yes, really.
Prove it.
First, go and call your husband and come back. I will show you both.
I don't have a husband.
You are right. You've had 5 husbands. And the man you're living with now is not your husband.
Oh, I see. You're a prophet. You're here to preach at me.
No.
Usually the one good thing about coming here alone is I can escape being condemned.
I'm not here to condemn you.
I've made mistakes. Too many. But it's men like you who have made it impossible for me to do anything about it.
How?
Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain. But you Jews insist Jerusalem is the only place for true worship.
They say that because the temple is there.
Yeah. Exactly where we're not allowed.
I'm here to break those barriers. And the time is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father.
So, where am I supposed to go when I need God? I've never received anything from God, but I couldn't thank him even if I did.
Anywhere. God is spirit. And the time is coming and is now here that it won't matter where you worship, but only that you do it in spirit. And truth, heart and mind, that is the kind of worshiper he's looking for. It won't matter where you're from or what you've done. Do you believe what I'm telling you?
Until the Messiah comes and explains everything and sorts this mess out, including me, I don't trust in anyone.
You're wrong when you say that you've never received anything from God. This Messiah you speak of, I am he. The first one was named Ramin. You were a woman of purity who was excited to be married. But he wasn't a good man. He hurt you. And it made you question marriage and even the practice of your faith.
Stop it.
The second was Farzad. On your wedding night, his skin smelled like oranges. And to this day, every time you pass by the oranges in the market, you feel guilty for leaving him. Because he was the only truly godly man you've been with. But you felt unworthy.
Why are you doing this?
I have not revealed myself to the public as the Messiah. You are the first. It would be good if you believed me.
You picked the wrong person.
I came to Samaria just to meet you. Do you think it's an accident that I'm here in the middle of the day?
I am rejected by others.
I know. But not by the Messiah.
And you know these things because you are the Christ. I'm going to tell everyone.
I was counting on it.
Spirit and truth.
Spirit and truth.
It won't be all about mountains or temples.
Soon, just the heart.
You promise?
I promise.
This man told me everything I've done. Oh, he must be the Christ!
Hey, wait!
Yo, what there?
You forgot your
Fancy, and now you told me everything I ever did!
Rabbi, we got food. What would you like?
I have food to eat that you do not know about.
Who got you food?
Okay. Every time I watch that, I'm so deeply moved. And this is part of me acknowledging who I am, okay? So part of the reason that a video that image that I saw 4 weeks ago is so impactful, because I'm deeply impacted by images. And whose responsibility is it that I own that? That's my responsibility. So I need to be very careful what I let into my heart. And part of the reason why I wanted to show this video is because every time I watch it, I'm just moved so deeply. Part of that's because of who I am, but also part of it is because it's the truth. That Jesus came to heal the heart. Our hearts, my heart, your heart. And I love this rendition of the story of Jesus. They're not just nice little stories from 2,000 years ago. No, Jesus is the Messiah. He came to heal the brokenhearted, to bind up wounds. He is the wounded healer. He's the Savior and King and great healer. And we have the privilege, when we acknowledge our brokenness, like Why did Jesus speak the truth to her so she could see and experience once again her need? And so then when the Messiah would speak, hey, it's not about those things, the temple, where you are, the outside. It's the heart, just the heart. That's what I'm here to redeem. Woo, it's powerful. And I had to leave it that 7 minutes so you could hear him say just that, right? Because I'm talking about the heart here. And if it's Jesus who's saying it, it's not just me, right? On the, at least in the clip there, right? He came to heal the heart. Thanks be to God. We're not left in our brokenness. He came to heal. And so open your hearts today to that. Guard your hearts. Watch over it, for it determines the course of your life. How? Through your own ownership, owning it, taking responsibility with the help of the Spirit and the Word, like we heard from just now in Ezekiel and from that story in John chapter 4. So consider the question, am I walking in the way of healing? First, am I walking in the way of brokenness? To do so is to walk in the way of the heart, acknowledging my brokenness. But secondly, am I walking in the way of healing? Every day I reconnect with the Messiah, the great healer, the Savior. Every day, whether you're 8 or 80, you reconnect with who you and I are. We are being healed. Thanks be to God for that reality. The third heart insight is this. We are becoming holy. So Jesus doesn't just come to help us, give us a pathway to like embrace our brokenness through the cross and forgiveness and redemption, or just to heal us. So we just are kind of like, okay, we're broken, but now we're healed. No, no, no. He came to make us holy. He came to make us like him. And so the third insight is this. If you want to watch over your heart, if you want to guard it, if you want to keep it, you need to embrace the reality that Jesus, the Messiah, wants to heal you, but not just heal you. He wants to make you holy. He wants to make you holy, sanctify you, set you apart, so that when people are sitting next to you, like I was sitting next to Sass, who is Iranian, the cardiologist, they sense the Lord's presence. And I was talking to him about Jesus. He was asking all these questions because I asked him about the heart, because I'm like, oh, you're studying the heart, or you're becoming a doctor of the heart. Like, talk to me about it. And that led us to talking about Jesus on the plane. I don't talk to with everyone about Jesus who I sit by on the plane. But there was an openness to him, and he was asking questions, and it was just the right time. It was awesome talking with Sass about Jesus and about some of the things I'm thinking about. I wasn't trying to be anything. I wasn't trying to be an evangelist necessarily. I was just talking about what I was experiencing with my heart and with the Lord. And at first he said, you know, I was trained in Western medicine. You know, it's probably more likely just a medical example. But then I told him what happened and the series of events. And he was like, well, I can't argue. Perhaps that was the catalyst. And something happened that righted your heart again. And I think it was the Lord, the healer. But again, he's not just coming to heal us. He wants to make us holy. And you have to be open to that. You and I need to be open to that. Listen to the words from Ezekiel. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries. I will bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you, to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. I will set you apart. I'll make you holy. Then you will live in the land and I gave your ancestors, You will be my people, and I will be your God. Jesus came to heal us, but not just heal us, to set us apart, to give us a new heart. And by giving us that new heart, making us holy, and that holy heart will then be the expression, the place out of it would flow living water, like Jesus said. Out of it would flow life and love. And whatever the world throws us in terms of our culture, in terms of their beliefs about things, in terms of evil overseas and in our own country, shootings, diabolical things, whatever the world throws us, we can stand holy in Christ by the power of the Spirit and in the truth of the Word. We can stand. Listen to the words of Jesus. I'm using my glasses here. Listen to the words of Jesus from John 17, and we'll move towards wrapping up here with these words. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world. He's praying to the Father on the last night before he was betrayed, denied, and put to death. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I and them and you and me. May they be brought into complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So Jesus came to speak to our brokenness. But not just that, he came to heal. We are being healed, but not just that, to set us apart, to sanctify us, to make us holy, so that wherever we go, we're beacons of him to the world around us. As I was preparing for this message, this song came to mind. I'm just going to play a little part of it, because to me, it's just a beautiful song. Sometimes I need music to call me to something greater than just who I am in my own thinking, that I'm called to be holy like Jesus wherever I go. This song helps me to do that. Let me just play the first part of it. Just take it in, the calling to be holy.
Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Oh, Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice, and I will praise you, Lord, and I will sing of love come down, and as you show we'll see your glory here.
I love that song. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. I'll praise you, Lord, I'll sing of love come down. And as you show your face, we'll see your glory here. All of you, you and I, were meant to be Christ's face, to be ambassadors of his glory to the world, to be lights, salt and light, lights in the darkness. We become that by acknowledging our brokenness, by being healed by the Lord, and by becoming holy, to be ambassadors of his glory. And so I want to call us today to just ask the question, am I walking in the way of holiness? That I'm becoming holy. And just return to that. Am I walking in the way of holiness so that actually Christ and his light and his life, his glory, shine through me wherever I go? I'm an ambassador of his light, kingdom of light. I want to be that. And my sense on that, if you don't think about this, how am I being ambassador of his light, his glory today? It's important that you think about it, that you dwell on it, that you pray about it, that you let music inspire you. Listen to that song every day for a month, I guarantee. That's going to move you. Like, wherever I go, Lord, lead me. We see your glory here as I go. I'm your light. It's important to consider as we think about, above all else, guarding our hearts. For from everything flows from our hearts. How do we do that? We own it ourselves with the help of the Spirit in us wherever we go and with the Word. And then specifically, these three insights I want us to invite us to consider today and as the worship team comes, that we are broken. Maybe this needs to be some of your focus. Just returning to the reality. I'm broken. I desperately need you, Lord. I don't just kind of need you, or sort of, or I've been walking with you a long time. No, today's a new day. I desperately need you. I'm broken. Or maybe for some of you, it's this, that you re-embrace this call to be healed. Maybe some of you, even though you're in your 60s, need to return to a time when you were wounded when you were six. And you haven't really moved through that and haven't really received forgiveness or moved through forgiveness and healing. You need to return and be open to the Spirit bringing you back to that. Maybe some of you need to embrace this insight to guard your heart. Because out of your heart, everything flows, determines you and your experience. Maybe that's you. We are being healed. Or maybe you need to re-engage this call to become holy, to be set apart, to be sanctified. Our world is becoming progressively anti-Christ, anti-God, anti how he made us, what he desires for us. And so more and more we need to seek to become holy, not with this like raised fist, but with hands open to love people, to embrace, say, hey, there's another way here. Not that we don't fight for justice, that's good, but we do that in a way that is truly like Jesus, where love is ordering our actions. And that doesn't mean we deny what's true, but it means that we hold that with a deep and profound love. Because why did Jesus pray what he prayed? So that the world would know. So that the world would know that we're loved. And that the world is loved. And so, as we sing this last song, let it be a song of response. Whether it's brokenness you need to own, whether it's healing you need to re-engage, or whether it's God's holiness and becoming more like Jesus, embracing the glory that he wants to shine through you once again. Whatever that looks like for you today, surrender. And let this song be a song of response as we move towards closing our time.
Down on my knees again, surrender. surrendering all. Find me here, Lord, as you draw me near, desperate for you. I'm desperate for you.
Stand with me, and I want to invite you all, if you're willing, just to hold your hands out. I want to say a blessing over you, each of you. Just receive this blessing now. Just receive this blessing. So now may the Lord bless you in your brokenness. May he bless you in your healing. May the Lord Jesus, the Christ himself, bless you in you becoming holy. And may his peace guard your heart as you go this day. And I pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Be blessed today.